life. You would turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. We're at the end of chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Now, we have the New Testament, which was given after Jesus Christ came to earth. He made a new covenant through His blood that if we, you know, through repentance and faith on His blood and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved. But before the New Testament, the new covenant was the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And at this time, the Old Testament's given to us for examples. We can look at the Old Testament. We can see where, how God created. We can see all the facts of creation. We can see all these things. But we see a lot of accounts, a lot of stories of people that we can use for examples. For example, I'm using the word example a lot here, but in the book of Jude, we're told that Sodom and Gomorrah were set forth for an example of the vengeance of God in eternal fire. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah can show us. We know that Moses in his building of the tabernacle was an example of the heavenly things. It was a shadow of the heavenly things that were to come. And there's many things recorded in the Old Testament that we can look for and learn from. But we're no longer living under the law. We're no longer living under the old covenant. We can look at it for examples. And today we're going to look at work. How a Christian should be in the workplace, both as a boss or an employer, and as a just employee, somebody that's under authority. But we can see in the Old Testament some examples of work. And in fact, the first place work is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 2, verse 2. It says, on the seventh day, God rested. He ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work, which God created and made. So the first person we see working is God. Now we know we are made in His image. God worked. We're made in His image. We are to work. Is work a bad? Is work a curse? Was God cursed with work? No. So work is good. Work is not part of the curse. Work is not something that we're like, oh, just because of sin we have to work. We always work. Even Adam, before sin, was told to go to the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. He had to work in the garden. Just like God, our Heavenly Father, worked for 6 days and then rested. So work is not a bad thing. A Christian worldview, a Christian mindset of work is that it's not bad. It's what we're created. We're created in part to work because we're made in the image of God who worked for 7 days, and then 6 days, and then rested. Moving on in the book of Genesis, we see a man named Jacob. And Jacob worked for his father-in-law, Laban. And he worked, and he got his wife. He actually got another wife thrown in, which he didn't really want. But he got two wives, and he worked for Laban. And Jacob told his wives, he said, you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But Jacob worked for his father-in-law. And he said, with all his power, he worked. But then we see that's a good employee. We see an example of an employee that worked with all his power. We see an example of a bad employer, right? He deceived him and changed his wages 10 times. Imagine telling somebody, I'm going to pay you $2,000 if you roof this house. And then, well, I'm going to pay you $1,800 once they're started. And then, you keep changing. At the end, you only pay him $1,000. That's deceiving somebody. We wouldn't want to be an employer like that. We're also given an example of Joseph. In the Old Testament, a great employee, a man who brought Potiphar, his master, great gain, a man who also had other men under him, and he set all the people in order. So we see examples of good work ethics and good work habits. So the Old Testament gives us examples, but the New Testament gives us concrete teachings, concrete doctrine on how we should act at the workplace. So that's what I want us to read this morning. If you are able, could you please stand with me? Let's read Colossians. Chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 22. And so this applies no matter where we're at in the workplace. If we're one in authority, if we're one under authority, these things will apply. Colossians 3, verse 22 reads, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Will you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the clarity of your word. I pray that I may make it clear as it is, that I may not muddy it up. So Lord, be with me as I preach. Be with all of us as we learn from your word, as we soak in what your word has to say. Allow us to take this and to compare it to other scriptures to make sure the things that are said today are so. Lord, help me to be a correct preacher of your word. I pray that you would use it in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so the Bible starts out in verse 22 and says, "Servants, obey your masters in all things." Now, there are servants that are definitely under masters. They were under the yoke of bondage. They were bond servants. They were slaves. They sold themselves under, however they became a servant. But what we can take this as is anybody under authority. We see the examples given earlier in the book of Colossians of husbands and wives, of fathers and children. And now we see servants and masters, of one under authority and one that has the authority. And we definitely in our workplaces either have authority over other people or are under authority, or both. And so these things apply to us today. And here we see that servants are to obey their masters, obey their bosses, obey those that have authority over them in how many things? All things. And comparing Scripture with Scripture, we know like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they served Nebuchadnezzar. But when he said, "Bow down and worship his image," they said no. They'd obey God rather than men. But in all things where we're not asked to sin, we're not asked to cheat or to steal or to embezzle or to hide money and taxes, if your boss asks you to do that, that's a sin. You can stand up for what's right and you can be fired, whatever it takes. But you don't have to sin. But in all things, if your boss tells you to do a job and you think, that's not, I'm above that, no, obey them. We are told to do. Obey them in all things. I'll give you an example of somebody that did not obey in all things and of a terrible employee, and this is myself. Back when I was in college, one of the summers I was in college, I worked for the school district that Ashley and I graduated from, Haven School District, and in the maintenance department. And so we did concrete work and fixed, but we did a bunch of big projects that summer. And so my immediate boss was my dad. He was the maintenance guy, head of maintenance right there. But I didn't. He wasn't my boss. I didn't think, you know, I'm not going to listen to him. And so anyway, he was my boss, and we got along all right for most of the year. But for some reason, I wanted to do this one. I think it was fix the football scoreboard there or something, because I was a football guy. I wanted to do something like that. It came to the last day I was working there before I headed back to college, and we talked about what we're going to do. He told me, I thought we were talking. He's my boss. He was telling me what we're going to do. I said, no, we should do this and this. And I started an argument, a heated argument. I don't know. It's fuzzy. I don't know what will happen. But I mean, it was almost coming to blows. Me and my dad, because I said, this is what we're doing. This is what we have to do. And you're wrong. And I mean, just telling him terrible things. Is that a good employee? No. And so finally, my dad said, well, you're fired. I'm like, you can't fire me. And I had my best friend was working with me. And he still laughed. Hey, I should probably talk to him because he remembers it well. But he was just enjoying this like crazy. But so my dad fired me. And then he went over to the superintendent's office, and then I just sat there and didn't know what was going to happen. And he came back and said, well, you're fired. I said, well, we'll see. And so I go to the superintendent, and I was fired. So, but now, is that a good employee? I mean, I seriously thought, I'm not going to listen to my father. I'm not going to listen to my boss. I know just as much as him. He has no right over the, you know. I mean, that's terrible. That is never a way a Christian should, and I wasn't a Christian at the time. But that is an example of, you know, our pride, and we think, I mean, I honestly thought I knew as much and should have as much right, and because in our flesh, we want to have, no one's in authority over us. Who's he to be the boss over me? I know just, you know, and that's the way I was. So that's a terrible employee. That was not obeying my master in all things. Right? So a Christian is going to obey the authority that is over him. And most of us probably have some authority over us at work, unless we're a farmer, self-employed, unless we own our business. We have somebody that's in authority. And not always is that authority going to agree with what we think should happen. But we're told to obey in all things. And to obey and to have authority, those are words that we don't like to hear in our flesh, our old man, right? Just, you see my old man, you see my nature. Nobody tells me what to do. Those are not things that we, but as Christians, We have a new nature. We have a new master in heaven. And so he tells us now we can obey. We can submit to the authority here on earth. And we are under, no matter who we are, we're all under the authority of God, our Father in heaven. When we're children, we're under the authority of our parents. When we're at work, we're under the authority. We have to get used to the idea of submission to our government authorities, to the police, to the law of the land. We are to submit to those things unless they contradict the law of God, unless they ask us to sin. And so as Christians, we have to get used to the fact and the practice of submitting to authority. So as Christians, first thing we can see in verse 22 is we are to be obedient employees, be obedient workers. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. They're not our master like our master in heaven. They're our masters according to the flesh. At that job site, they're the ones that are put in authority. Now, does God see them as higher than us? No. No, there's no slave or free, bond, you know, Jew or Greek. But according to the flesh, according to where we're at that time in our life, we are to obey in all things. Not with eye service, it says. Not just when they're watching, not just when their eyes are on you, you're obeying, and then they leave and you go do something else. We're not to obey them just when they're watching, just when they're there and the boss is gone for a week, so we're going to just not work. We're to obey them. What they tell us to do, we do it, not just when they're watching, not as eye pleasers, not as eye service, not as men pleasers. We're not doing it to try to win the praise of men and try to get a raise, and we're just trying to really please everybody around us. That's not even who we're doing it for. We're not doing it just when we're seen. We're not doing it for the other people. But it says, in singleness of heart, with one mind, with one purpose, and that is fearing God. So when we're at work, we obey our masters in all things. We obey them. We're obedient workers because we fear God. And that's our one and only motive right there, is because we fear God. He tells us to. And we want to, as we'll see in other places, we want to have a good testimony. We want other people to praise God and glorify Him for the things they see us do. And so a Christian should be an obedient worker. Now, how many times at a workplace, you know, the boss leaves and the employees of equal rank, you're all around and you can all just bag on that boss. You can talk about how he doesn't know a thing. And that's a stupid way to do it. And this whole company's stupid. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And so we get in that talk and everybody's talking around there. Do we do that when the boss is there? No. I mean, that's that's doing eye service. We don't do it if the boss is watching, but that's not obeying in all things. That's having a rebellious attitude. That's not submitting to authority as a Christian should do. Our bosses are our masters according to the flesh. And in verse 23 it tells us, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." We're not men pleasers. We're not just trying to win the acclaim and the praise of men. We're doing it to God. Whatever we do it as unto the Lord. Whether He gives us a job that we think is the worst job, we are way above that job. We somehow think we're not. But we think we're above that job. Do it. Whatsoever you do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. Put your work into it. Remember Jacob. How he worked for Laban. He said he worked hard for his father-in-law, did he not? We should do that, and we should do it as unto the Lord. If we can make our mind up that we are doing in the fear of the Lord, we know that He sees everything we do, and we're going to do this job for God. When the next job we're given, we're going to do it for God. When we're doing it for God, we're going to do our best. We're going to have a good attitude about it. So we should work as Christian employees. We should be obedient employees, and we should work as to the Lord, with all of our heart. Those are two principles right here we see in Colossians 3. Let's see some other principles as employees, as those under somebody's authority. We should be obedient to that. We should work as unto the Lord. Let's look at some other things. Let's go to 1 Timothy. So back to the left in your Bibles, actually to the right in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, then 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. So, we get some principles for being an employee. These are things that we can apply tomorrow at work. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke." If you're under authority, this is speaking to you. If you have a boss, if you have an employer, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor." All right, if you're going to honor those who deserve honor. The Bible's telling us your boss, the one, your master, he is worthy. We should count them worthy of all honor, whether his or not. We count him as being worthy of honor. Whether it's a boss, it's bad, he doesn't make good decisions, and we know it. If we honor them, you need to honor him with your lips, don't you? As soon as he's gone, you can't go talk and say, man, that guy is just, he's clueless. As a Christian, as an employee, we're going to honor those that are in authority ahead of us. Now this could make a difference because that's so in our flesh to do. Now, hopefully not many people are like me just speaking boldly and brashly against your dad or your boss, whoever it is. But there's things under your breath you say. There's things you say to somebody else that's your friend at work. Here we're to count our masters, our bosses, those in authority as worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. So the reason that you do it is for God. So that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. If you're going to go around, which you should, and let your light shine before men, if you're going to not deny Jesus Christ at work, you're a Christian and people know it. People know Rich is a Christian at work. And then he is dishonoring his boss. That causes the name of God and God's doctrine to be blasphemed. You're dragging God's name and God's word and God's teaching through the mud. Because people, even if they haven't read that, they know that's an unchristian way to act. They know that a Christian should not be. We're all doing it, but this guy says he's a Christian. He's in here doing the same thing. So we need to count our masters worthy of all honor. Count them as it, whether they are or not. Honor your employee. Let's go to the book of Titus. We're in 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy and then Titus to the right in your Bible. They're just a few pages over. See what I mean about the New Testament doesn't give us examples. It gives us doctrine, teaching. Do this, right? Count your masters worthy of all honor so that God is not blasphemed. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 says, he's telling Titus to exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. There it is again, to be obedient, we say. Man, that's pretty harsh. But as Christians, we're to obey our masters. We're to be under authority. Be submissive to that. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. So, if they ask you to do it, we do it. If we're under authority. Not answering again. I mean, that was me answering again. I could have a comment for everything somebody tell me to do. Not answering again. Not talking back as employees. Just please them well. Just do it. Honor them. Don't answer again. Not purloining, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, being trustworthy. You know, they have fidelity insurance. That means you're trustworthy. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So there's the reason you are to not talk back. You're to not to steal from your employer. You're to be a trustworthy employee. Why? So that the doctrine of God is presented. So that you are adorning the doctrine of God. You're making the doctrine of God look good by your actions. You're glorifying God by the works that you're doing. So again, I mean, this is all pretty much in the same line here, but we see a bunch of different things. We stealing from our employer. There's out and out stealing. But there's stealing of your wages if you're not working during that hour you say you're supposed to be working, if you're taking longer breaks than you're supposed to be taking, if you're not working as hard. Because when you sign up, you don't say, well, I'll work for $15 an hour, but that's going to be 75% of my level. Are they going to hire you? No, they want you to work as hard as you can for that wage. And so if you're not, man, that's stealing. If you're making a product not to your best, if you're on an assembly line and you know, oh, I had a bad day or whatever, and you're putting out junk, that's stealing. That's going to cost them money. You're stealing money. So we don't want to steal from our employers. We want to be trustworthy. Let's go to 1 Peter. Keep going to the right in your Bibles. If Christians would be at work the way they're supposed to be at work, imagine the witness that this would be. Imagine if Christians just weren't in amongst the group gossiping at the water cooler. If Christians weren't skipping on breaks just like other ones. Imagine the testimony that would be. Think, though, how much the Word of God and His doctrine is being blasphemed by our actions at work, by Christians' actions at work, because they're not doing what the Bible says to do. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Froward be mean, perverse, you know, a terrible boss. The Bible says to be subject to them, not only to a good one, but also to a bad one. So you can't say, well, I would be subject to him if he's doing this, if he was good, but he's not. No. And we do have the freedom. We're not slaves under bondage. You know, we can, if it's a bad boss, and we can move on. You know, if somebody's cussing at us, I mean, if the atmosphere is that bad. But if we're putting ourselves there at work at that time, we are to be subject unto them, whether they're good or bad. Let's go back to Colossians. So, as one at work under authority, we want to be obedient in all things. We want to work as unto God. We want to be the same whether they're watching or they're not. We want to not talk back. We want to honor him, our employer, whether he deserves it or not. We want to not steal. We want to be trustworthy and be subject to him no matter what our boss's temperament is. Those are some basic things we can see right there in Scripture that we can apply to our life tomorrow. Okay, let's continue in Colossians 3. So 22 and 23 told us to do whatever we're doing, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Our reward comes from God. It's not from that paycheck. I mean, we should provide for our families. We should do that. But our reward is of the Lord. We're working for the Lord. And we're going to receive a reward from the Lord. It says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whether we're working for the city, whether we're working for a school, whether we're working wherever, we really are serving the Lord Christ. And we have to get that through our heads. He's the one who we're wanting to please. He's the one who we fear. He's the one who is watching at all times. We can't go anywhere that he doesn't see. And he's the one that's going to reward us for our service. Ye serve the Lord Christ. But, verse 25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect of person. God is going to reward both the good and the bad that we do. We're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we say. Not only at home, not only at church, but also at work. It's not like a off-limits thing where we can just be whatever we want. We are always serving the Lord Christ. And He's going to reward us for the good and also for the bad. And there's no respect of persons. It doesn't matter, you know, where you got your bachelor's degree from. It doesn't matter what your last name is or what your family does this. Your family owns this. Doesn't matter. God's no respect of persons. That's what it says. God's going to judge you for what you do. He's going to judge righteously the way you work. The way you are at work, God is going to see this. So, He expects us to be obedient, to give our best. And whatever we do, working ultimately for Him. That's His word to those under authority at work. Now, it seems to be kind of biased towards the boss, because the boss can just seem, he can do whatever he wants. Right? But that's not the way the Bible says it. Let's go on to chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, one in authority, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So we have people here that are, they have a payroll that they pay out for people. If you're paying somebody, you're their master, you're their employer. You're the one in authority. It says here to give them that which is just. So a fair wage, right? Something that's equal to the job that's being done. There's different tasks that have to be done. There's different work that has to be done. There's different levels of education, different levels of expertise, different levels of, you know, experience. But you should pay what's equal to the task. Somebody's going to come in and wire this whole place right now. Put in electricity. That's a big job. They have to really understand what's going on. That's going to be a little bit more than we would pay somebody to come in and sweep the floors. Not that the electrician is any better than the guy sweeping the floors, but the task requires more, and so it would be paid more. A master or one in authority should pay what is just, what is equal to the task that they provided. Now, you know, we could think of trying to get somebody that can work real cheap. And I mean, I think of back when I was in Kansas, there was a farmer that I worked for, and that must have been before Roundup Ready soybeans or something, because he would have a group of Mexican immigrants, I don't know if they're illegal or legal, whatever, go through and rogue the beans. But I was working for him. I was getting, I think he was stealing from me. The work I was doing was hard enough. I should have been getting more. He wasn't giving me just and equal, but he definitely did not give them just and equal wages. People would hire those Mexican illegal immigrants, whatever, because they knew they could give them wages that were nothing. God sees that though, right? He might be trying to build his house and he can save money and do all this because he can get cheap labor, but God sees it. It says here, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. God sees exactly how you as an employer are treating your employees, how you're paying them. And God says you give them a just wage, give them a fair wage, give them a wage that's equal to the job that's at hand. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So back to the left in your Bibles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So a few pages. Ephesians chapter 6. So as an employer, as one in authority, as a master, you are to give your servants a just wage, a fair wage for the job that's at hand. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9 speaks to masters as well. Masters, and ye masters, do the same things unto them. So now he's saying, masters, you're going to do the same things that the servants are doing for you. You're going to do it unto them. What's he talking about? Look back at verse 7. With goodwill. Well, let's go to verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So servants are to do the will of God from their heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. They're to serve the Lord with goodwill. Servants are to do that. Also it says in verse 9, masters, you do the same unto them. So just because you're in authority doesn't mean you're not to do good and to serve and to do what the will of God is to your servants. You're not exempt from that. You're to do the same thing. Masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening. If we forbear, that means we don't do it. That means we put it off. We're not going to do it right then. So it's saying, do not threaten. Now, a boss, I imagine, I never really had a boss that would threaten. But I think there are bosses that would threaten and would yell and would cuss and use intimidation and do all those kind of things. Definitely that's spoken against right here. You are to forbear threatening. In fact, as a Christian boss, as a Christian employer, we're to be servants of the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the servant of the Lord, which we all should be, the servant of the Lord must be gentle, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them repentance. So we are to be, all Christians are to be gentle, try to teach, patient. We are to, with meekness, instruct those. And so that should be your attitude as a boss. As one in authority, you are still teaching, you are still an ambassador for Christ, you're still gentle, you are not threatening. You have a different attitude. I know as a football coach, you can get into big time, but back when I was a football coach, before I was saved, I mean, I was once working for a coach that, I mean, big time threat. I mean, cuss and just threaten, and I mean, grab people, and I mean, just out of control crazy. And that can be kind of the accepted thing for a coach. Bo Pelini's that way, you know, just crazy. And it's accepted. That's what, he's intense. But as a Christian, we're not to be that way. As a Christian, we're not to be threatening. But to be gentle, have to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Right? And so, no matter, even if it's accepted at your job, that's what you do if you're a football coach, that's what you do if you're a car salesman, whatever, we as a Christian are held to a different standard, as it says right here, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. God doesn't care whether you're the employer or the employee, you're still to be gentle, you're not to be threatening, you still have the fruit of the Spirit showing through. You don't change it because you're a boss. It doesn't change that you're a Christian and that you behave like a Christian. And so here you don't threaten because God sees these things. God is your master in heaven. So we see that you're supposed to give a fair wage, a just wage. You're supposed to treat your employees well, just like they should work for you. You serve them as well. You're not to be threatening. You're to still have the Christian temperament as a boss. In Jeremiah 22, God's speaking through Jeremiah to this king named Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was one of the last, he was the king when Daniel was born, when Daniel was there. Jehoiakim had done some things where he had got people to build for him, people to work for him, and he never paid them. Bible says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. If somebody does work for us, we are to pay them, especially if we promise to pay them. If they're working for us, to withhold wages or to not pay them is stealing. So employers are to pay their employee. Seems fundamental, but it's true. Pay them a just and a fair wage. Pay them. And if we try to, you know, build our house and build our estate and build our wealth and do all this stuff by cheating other people, by, you know, I've heard of, you know, you cannot pay. I still have people that owe me for jobs that I've done. Yeah, they're getting a little bit built up. But God sees these things. God sees how you're building your house. And if you're building it through unrighteousness or you're building it by wrong, the Bible says, woe unto you. We want to build our house and do it right. Pay people what they're worth. Pay people. If we say we're going to pay them, we pay them. Let's turn to James, the book of James. James chapter 5 in the New Testament. We got Hebrews in the book of James. So to the right in your Bibles, Hebrews, James chapter 5. More about paying your employees. There's a lot to an employer, to a boss, about paying your employee. And all of us probably are bosses at some time. If we have somebody that, you know, fixes a refrigerator for us or puts on siding on our house for us, we are the employer at that time. We are to pay them. We owe them. And if we cheat them and don't pay them, that is wrong. And the Bible says, woe unto us. If we have any bills that are outstanding right now, okay, pay them. If there's somebody from 30 years ago that you need to pay, pay them. Woe unto you if you try to build your house and build your wealth without paying. Look at chapter 5 of James, verse 1. It says, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. So these rich men are going to have bad things going to happen to them. Chapter 5, verse 1 of James. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. So these rich men have gained all this wealth, but it's all going to be corrupted. It's all going to be burnt. And they're going to be in misery. Look at verse 4. This says what they've done. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is kept back, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. So God hears the cries of the people that had labored in these rich man's fields, but the rich people did not pay them for their work. And God says, you're defrauding them. You're frauding them. You're not paying them what you said you were going to pay. They did a job for you. Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his hire. The cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. So God hears those cries. God wants us to pay if we say we're going to pay. Pay if somebody does a job for us. Here these men think they're rich. They think they've beat the system. They've got all this. And they got all this stuff. And look at those laborers. They're stupid. They, you know, I got them on some, you know, technicality or something. Who knows? But if you're trying to build your wealth, build your house by deceit, God says, misery is going to come upon you. Leviticus 19:13. We don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 19:13 says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. So to Israel, he said, if you hired your neighbor, if you hired somebody, and they work for you, you shouldn't keep that wage all night and pay them the next morning. You should pay them now. So the Bible's talking about paying them quickly for a job that's done. So if somebody does a job, we have the means to pay it. You know, we pay it. I imagine if there's a, you know, if they tell you, yeah, you pay me next week, you work things out. But if you have the means to pay it, pay it. So that's what it's saying there as an employer. If somebody works for you, you pay them quickly. There they say the same day. And to not pay them quickly, to hold on to it and owe somebody, that's to defraud them. That's what it says there. In Malachi 3, verse 5, it says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers. And those are bad things. Sorcery, adultery, swearing falsely. It says also in that list, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. So as an employer, if you're oppressing the person that you're hiring by your wages, if you're paying them less, way less than they should be getting, you're not paying them a just and a fair wage, God says, I will come near to you to judgment. So as an employee, you want to think, am I paying these people a just, a fair, a wage that's equal to the job that's done? And we should not be, as Christians, looking to get the cheapest labor. And man, that's basically like stealing. It is stealing. It's frauding them of what they are worth. So we want to pay a just and a fair wage. Pay them quickly. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So if you have an ox that's working for you, treading corn out, grinding that down into flour, cornmeal, whatever it is, to put a muzzle on that ox would be saying, you do the work, but you're not going to get any of the rewards. You're not going to get any of the corn. It said, do not muzzle the ox. That's in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 5:18 says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So to say, do all this work and get none of the benefits, do all the work and you're not going to get rewarded, that's wrong. Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his hire. So employers, if you're the one in authority, you're to be gentle. You're to pay a just and a fair wage. You're to pay what you've agreed. You're to pay quickly. Don't withhold that. And so whatever our lot is in life, the Bible speaks of these things. And in whatever our lot in life is, we never cease to be a Christian when we go to the workplace. Whether we're a boss or we're under authority, we are always under our master in heaven. That's what it says for both of them. Servants and masters, you both have a master in heaven. That's who we really work for. So at home, at church, at work, we're always working and living in the fear of God. We're always doing God's will. Because ultimately, we are laborers for God. We're all, whether we're servants, whether we're masters, we're all laborers for God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says that we are laborers together with God. That's talking about going out and witnessing and winning souls and building people up in Christ. We're all to be doing that, to labor together with God. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when we work, everything that we do, working to build people up, working to bring people to Christ, working to show Jesus Christ through letting our light shine, all that work is not in vain. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. So God will not forget the labor that you do, and we're really all working for God. Now, if God, who is the ultimate master, the ultimate judge, he doesn't forget, we shouldn't forget the labor people do for us. We should reward the laborer. But working for God, as laborers together with him, we all labor, and he will reward us. He's the one that's going to reward us both good or bad that we do. Matthew 5. I'm going to end here. Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. Does that mean just here in church? Does that mean just at home when you're in your family? No, that's all times. We are the light of the world. Even at work, we're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You imagine a city on a hill with those lights. I mean, you can see where that's at. You can tell where York's at because of the lights. You know, we can see it from our place. There's a city there. If it was on a hill, we could see it even better. With corn, we could see it even better if the corn was down. Right? But a city set on a hill cannot be hid because it has lights. We are the light of the world. You can't hide Christ. If you are, if you're denying him, the Bible says he will deny you. We can't deny Christ. We don't change who we are. That's a hypocrite. When we're at work, we are the same as we are here this morning. We are the light of the world. Men don't light a candlestick. Said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we're at work, we're letting our light shine for Jesus Christ. We are obeying him and what he said in his word. We're going to be a different employee than the other employees. We're going to be a different boss than the other bosses because we are obeying a different master. We're not obeying the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. We're obeying Jesus Christ. We serve the Lord Christ, and whatsoever we do, and wherever we're at in our job, we're serving him. And so we are letting our light shine in that dark world. And the workplace can be a dark place. I've talked to a lot of you that work at places that are dark places. But you're called to be a light in that dark place. Why? So that men may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Through what you do, you can blaspheme the Word of God by your actions. Or you can glorify God by your actions. God is seeing you in what you do, and it's going to be a labor, it's going to be a work. God will reward you. God sees your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let's take what God has told us in His Word that's very clear as employees, as employers, as those in authority, those under authority. Let's take that, apply it to our lives tomorrow, be the light of the world in our workplace so that people may glorify God by the way we live. We can only do it with His help. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message that You've given to us, the clarity of Your Word. Lord, it's not a question of how we should do or what we should do, but just of if we will be obedient. Lord, we know if we love You, we're going to want to obey You. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us can do that, can make changes, can think about these things. Don't just let it in one ear and out the other, but go and purposely be a light in our workplaces. And that we can witness for You, we can do the labor for You, but that our life and our words and our actions don't drag Your doctrine and Your word and Your person through the mud. So Lord, help us to be good employees, good employers. Lord, we know that You see all that we do, and we just want to glorify You with our lives. Lord, may we do this. And where we fail, may You pick us back up, give us the power to go and do better next time, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.